sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Durant standing on the logo, waves Curry away. He's got Rodney Hood guarding him. Gets Iguodala to the right side, pulls up downtown. Durant for three, way downtown. He doubles the Warriors' advantage to 106-100. It's a playoff career high, 43 points for Kevin Durant. 106-100 Warriors and a timeout for Cleveland.
I don't think that radio call captured the moment. That was ridiculous, was that shot.
Was that from a high school game?
Oh, my God.
Jim, did you find that from a high school game in Connecticut?
Guy, let it out a little bit there.
Well, it's a good shot.
Give me some emotion, baby.
Doubles the Warriors' advantage to 106-100.
Doubles the Warriors' advantage? No, dude.
Doubles their advantage.
He won you
the
game. That is the dagger. That is the knife through the chest.
What?
He's putting it in. He's pulling it up.
Put your resume in.
Got it, LeBron James.
So much better than that, Walt.
He's bleeding out all over the floor. It's
43 points for Kevin Durant.
I mean,
106-100 Warriors and a timeout for Cleveland.
Oh, I tell you this in Boston every day.
That sounds like that could have been at any point in the game. Like a big three in the second quarter.
We say this all the time, regardless of the sport. You're so lucky to have the play-by-play that
Absolutely.
You have in the city of Boston right here. I don't care what station you listen to. It's all good across the board.
Absolutely.
All of it.
Jeez.
So much better than
everybody
else.
I mean, we bitch about the local guys, but when we do it, I mean, it's because we're comparing them to each other. Oh, man. All right, well, not to get distracted by the radio call, but that play was just gigantic and a huge night for Kevin Durant. We've had three games of the NBA Finals. Each of the three big stars in this series have had their game. Game one was LeBron's. Game two was Steph Curry's. Game three was Kevin Durant's. Mm. They've all had one.
Huh.
Except the same team has won all three games.
You said Steph Curry had a game?
Yeah, his game was game two. He was sort of the guy who came up big. I know it was a volume game.
Yeah.
Listen, it's an overrated performance, but it's still, he was the best guy on the floor that night, was he not?
He was, and I'm not going to be sitting and say I'm an NBA guy.
I think Jim's saying no. You don't think he was the best
Durant
guy on the
was.
Floor that night?
No, he took 27 shots and scored 33
points. Okay, but he still hit a bunch of shots. I mean,
but he hit nine threes. That was the difference.
He hit nine threes.
He was 1 of 10 last night.
He sucked last night.
Durant's the MVP
right
now.
Same game. The shots just went in the other night. His game was no different. His presence was no different.
The night he had that, Durant had 26, and I think it was 12 or 14.
Well, wait. Now, Jim, when you hit the shots, you get the credit. When you don't hit the shots, you suck.
Yeah, but he didn't take over the game. It's not like he took over the game. Like, they didn't win the game just because of Steph Curry.
No, but then whose game was it then? Who's the MVP of game two?
Yeah, team game.
Team game.
I think the way Durant played game two and that thing that he did last night, he is the MVP by far. It ain't even close. And by the way, I think it's Kevin Durant's team now.
Why do you believe that?
Because he is just, you know how they say the NBA, when you build it and you look at a certain way, that's LeBron's team wherever he goes. Whether it was Dwayne Wade, you know, it's like the Dwayne Wade effect. Like when LeBron went to Miami and you watch how they played those first 3 years, that was LeBron's team. That wasn't Dwayne Wade's team, even though it was Dwayne Wade's house. Kevin Durant goes there, and the way he played in the finals last year with a new team, and the way he's taken over these finals this year.
So let me get this straight.
This
he was the
team.
Finals MVP last year, but a great game three in what is clearly an overmatched Cavs team series here. Now it's his team?
It just looks like his team, yeah.
Based on what? One game?
Everything that he does and what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I don't know about
that.
I think that team is always going to be Steph Curry's team.
Got
he was there first.
Sweat.
He won there first,
you
and then Durant
Curry.
Came later on.
You can have Curry. I'll take Durant.
I don't think it's Durant's team. I mean, he won the NBA Finals MVP last year.
He's a freaking stud.
Oh, he's terrific. Yeah. No one's going to argue with you on that.
So watching Kevin Durant last night makes me want LeBron James even more off our conversation yesterday. Okay? Whether it's Steph Curry's team or not, to see what they got going on at Golden State makes me want to add LeBron James to this mix so much more. That's all.
All right, run this by me one more time. Seeing
Because that's what you're up against.
You want to add LeBron more now
you
because
could all, you could all
you've seen how good the Warriors are, well, and you know how hard it's going to be to compete with the Warriors when you get to the final. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
If they keep it together.
Sorry.
I mean, Klay Thompson's not going to ultimately be there at some point. We get that. But you see Iguodala, you see Draymond Green, you see all the other little ancillary pieces that they have, the way they put it together. Who's the freak yesterday? This guy looks like skinny Rasheed Wallace. He had, what, 10, 12 points? Like that? He doesn't even contribute regularly.
Who, Jordan Bell?
Yeah. No, not Jordan Bell. Tall, skinny guy at the headband.
Guy JaVale McGee. Yeah.
McGee.
He's a vet, yeah.
I mean, just like one of those classic vets, but they got all the guys in the right pieces, and that's what you're competing against now. Because Cleveland's no longer. He ain't staying there. He ain't staying in Cleveland. Because that's a dumb team. They don't play defense. Korver, I thought, killed him at times last night. But it was basically LeBron trying to pass the ball, trying to get other guys going. You could say he deferred at the end, which I do agree with. You had Steph Curry match up on you, take it to the hole every single time. And he had nice help, so he had to kick it. But if you're going to compete against that, stay in a course. And I know it's Gordon Hayward and Kyrie. I don't know if that's enough. I think you need the 6'8", chugga-chugga-choo-choo train. I do. And try to keep everybody else. You may have to get rid of one of the three, but why not keep two of the three?
Well, this kind of goes back to what do you think would have been going on in this series had the Celtics been there? And had they been there healthy?
Be competitive.
I mean, if they were there and they were healthy, they're competing in the series. I still don't think they're winning it, but it's not like they're
so if you play defense last night, they're going to stop
that? Underdog that the Cavs are in this thing.
You think anybody was going to stop that last night? Even Avery Bradley here in his prime is the number one defender. Do you think anybody was going to stop Durant?
Do you feel like the Cavs played a bad game last night? I don't.
I thought they played a bad defensive game.
Yeah, but they always do.
Yeah, but it was even. I mean,
the Cavs don't have good defensive nights.
Yeah, you got Jackson and Van Gundy in here telling you how bad it is. Too.
Look at Game 7. So look at Game 7 against the Celtics. Did the Cavs do anything defensively? No. The Celtics just missed all these open shots. They're not a good defensive team. They suck.
I mean,
I'm saying for them, for what you expect from them, I don't think they did anything that I look at and say, oh, they suck tonight. That's why they lost. See, no, they went out and played, and by the end of the game, they couldn't hold off the Warriors.
It sucks for me because I'm rooting for the Cavs, and I sat there through all three games. You freaking had game one. They blew that. You lost game two. You were there in game three. Game three was there for the taking. In a weird way, Cleveland should be up 2-1, even though this series is 3-0. Like, if you're Cleveland and you're LeBron, you're sitting there, you want to go nuts. Because you should be up 2-1. You really should. If you have smart coaching and smart defensive players and guys that can hit a shot when they're needed to. When it's not just all on LeBron.
So Steph sucked last night.
He did.
Have you seen the reports that he was golfing on the off day before the game?
Well, they have birthday parties and canceled practices for him, too. So, I mean, yeah, I would believe that.
Listen, I don't care to make a big deal out of it because I don't care about the Warriors.
You only get so many off days a week.
But if... So he was at this place, according to reports, at Kirtland Country Club. You ever heard of Kirtland Country Club, Artie? Is that a famous spot out there in Cleveland? Good golf spot?
I don't know that one.
Take that on the golf show, the golf show roadshow.
Sounds nice.
So he was reportedly at Kirtland Country Club playing golf the day before. So not yesterday, but 2 days ago on an off day before the game. Does that seem smart to you? I don't know.
No.
I don't know why.
No.
Why would you be doing that?
They don't have. They can do that. That they put a super team together.
Yeah,
he's the one who, like, he's
what
was the
he
one
going
who,
in the locker
room. He, for? He, well,
it's sort of like up his ego, right? He supposedly sucked up his ego so that Durant could come along and be the superstar. Also, in that offseason, he ended up getting $40 million a year and a new contract, but now he doesn't have to try as hard.
Isn't that sort of like, hey, if you're going to miss OTAs, you better come back and be perfect. Hey, if you're going to
listen,
go
the
golfing,
Celtics can do that if LeBron comes and joins this crew because that's what they're going to be too.
Okay, but they wouldn't. If you're going to go golf on the day before the game, you better not come in and go nearly 0-for from three.
I don't know.
Your skill and your specialty, and you basically were a no-show in game three, and thank God for his team, for Kevin Durant, who was fabulous. But back to LeBron. Let's continue with our LeBron to Boston thoughts.
Yeah.
I thought more and more about it, and I think...
Jim Loth has a hot take, too, dude.
I think that LeBron even wanting... The meeting with the Celtics is very impressive, and I'll tell you why next.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The margin of error being so small with the Warriors, especially in Game 1 and Game 3, but how does that give you guys confidence going forward, knowing that how close you actually were to winning those games?
I mean, to answer your second question first, the margin of error is very low. I mean, you can't... You know, it's almost like, you know, playing the Patriots. You just can't have mistakes. They're not going to beat themselves. You know, so, you know, when you're able to either force a miscue on them, you have to be able to capitalize, and then you have to be so in tune and razor sharp and focused every single possession. You can't have miscommunication. You can't have laws. You can't have my faults or my bads and things like that, because they're going to make you pay. And when they make you pay, it's a 3-0 or 6-0 or 9-0 run, and it's, you know, and it comes in bunches. So, you know, the room for error is just, you just can't have it.
That's Bron postgame last night. Jim Louth heard that last night, said, oh, I could see it. I could feel him coming to Boston.
Jim's in.
I could see it. I could envision
in.
It. I didn't need the post game.
Didn't need it either.
Just the idea that he wants to meet with the Celtics tells me this. It tells me that LeBron has evolved, and LeBron is thinking in more mature ways than he ever has before.
That's the Felger point from yesterday.
And this is why. And I thought this since he went back to Cleveland. Yeah. I thought going back to Cleveland
is different.
And the SI article with Lee Jenkins was a very mature thought, and a guy who was sort of finding himself and who the hell he was.
Yep.
And that still may be true, but if he's coming to Boston, we should all recognize this. LeBron can't choose the Celtics and have an expectation. He's not dumb. LeBron's a smart guy. He would never choose this team and have the expectation that it will be his team to run. And this is why I've said all along, he doesn't want the Celtics. As recently as 2 or 3 days ago, I thought, come on, guys.
But
it's fun to play fantasy
land.
He's
got to take a peek.
It's fun to talk about it, but this is not LeBron's type of team. What if all of a sudden it is? What if he decides that, you know what? I'm ready to do something a little different. I'm ready to have a coach that is an actual coach. I'm ready to play for somebody. I'm ready to help the teammates around me, help other guys get better. I'm okay with there being a well-established GM, a really good head coach, really good ownership. I'd like to try that on for size, because you know what? I'm at the stage of my career where I've got no choice, and I want to win,
yep.
And I want to get as many rings before I'm done. He would not be able to come here and act maybe the way he's acted at other times in his career. He just wouldn't be able to do it, and he should know it, because we all know it. We know what the Celtics are about, and you would immediately think that's not really his type of thing, being a good teammate, being a good player for a coach, falling in line. You could be the best guy on the team. Just don't be an a-hole about it.
Imagine having that meeting. And if they do have this meeting, I do think they are going to have the meeting, because I think he's got to be sitting there thinking, I'm the best player in the damn world. I've had it all. I need to get in there and figure out why did that team, with the people that they had out and the guy that I played with and won with, how the hell did they take me to 7 games? There's something going on there. It's different than any other team I've ever been on. And I want to know what it is. And maybe Danny and Brad will sit there and say, you know what? We like talking to you, but we're content with doing what we're doing and the direction we're heading in. Good luck to whoever you choose. And imagine the respect James would have for them.
I would also there's also sort of the angle of, do these guys, when they go into free agency, we know how LeBron talked about himself when he went to Miami the first time, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. He wanted to be recruited like it was college.
Yeah.
Well,
he didn't have the college experience or the group.
Right. And that's what he compared it to, the college experience of being recruited. He wanted to be
recruited. My ass.
His ass kissed. Yep. And if that's what he wants this time around, then he hasn't matured. And he's no different than he's always been.
Correct.
But if he goes in and meets with a team that says, like the Celtics should say, hey, LeBron, we recognize how talented you are. You're the best player in the world. You've heard our head coach say that. We absolutely know it. If you want to be here, we'll make it work. Right. We are not going to sit here and recruit you and kiss your ass. If that is appealing to him, oh, these guys are serious. They're all about winning. If that's appealing to him, then he has truly changed his way of thinking. If it's not appealing to him, if it's a turnoff to him, then forget it. He's the same guy he's always been. I go back to what was written a couple of days ago when Kevin Durant did the story and talked about Tom Brady with the recruitment, right? And in that recruitment, he didn't understand why why Brady was there and didn't get the whole.
Yeah, you're not playing with me. What's
right? What was, you know, what's this guy doing here? So if that was, you know, I don't know how to take that. I sort of want to read into that and think, oh, that's pretty good.
Smart from a basketball standpoint. Like, this guy's not going to help me in Boston, but to really pick his brain about, you know, what's the dynamic there? What's the culture like? What is winning like in Boston? You've won championships.
Here's what
in
Durant
Boston.
Said. Again, this was in The Athletic. He did, there was like a running,
sure.
What do you call that?
Oral history.
Oral history, right. Thank you. He said, I mean, I love Tom Brady, but I don't know if he can help me get, he can help me if I were on the court with him right now. I love that people wanted me on their team, but at the same time, I just wanted to hear from the coaches and players about what they needed or why they wanted me on their team and what I needed to do as a player. I read that and I thought, that reflects pretty well on Kevin Durant. What do you, hey, Tom, I know, I'm more interested in the basketball aspect of this. I'm more interested in, hey, do you guys think I can fit on your team? I think that reflects well on a player. I can't stand his decision to go to Golden State, but at least his thinking about it was not about, oh, bring in all the celebrities
but
and kiss my ass so I come to your team.
But part of the problem is, too.
How's this going to work?
Part of the problem is, too, you do it in one of the richest parts of New York, and that's the Hamptons. You know, so you're also, he also wanted his ass kissed, but he also wanted the basketball experience, and he went.
Well, isn't that just where he has his house?
No, actually.
No,
why was he there?
So here's the thing. His business partner.
Yeah.
This business partner is constantly on Bill Simmons' podcast, so he's on there all the time. So he said that Durant was nice enough, knowing that they were going on a trip overseas,
yeah,
that he had one more week to spend with his family, and it was the first week of July. And so Durant agreed to meet with all these teams near his business partner's home instead of having all this travel around the country before they leave
to
go
overseas.
Well,
I like that out of Durant, then.
Central location.
Nice of Durant.
Yeah, it seems it makes Durant look like a good guy, but it's also coming from the business partner. So is he trying to make him look like a good guy? Or
you're
is
also
trying
to help him. You know what? I will help you out. I'll come hang out in the Hamptons for a week, and we'll do the meetings there. I'll see what I can do.
But he's also said Durant's decision was always strictly about basketball.
It
I want to know
be.
What's good for basketball.
And it should
for me.
Be. And it was, and it is, and he's won two championships since he went there.
But he was also investing in tech companies all across Silicon Valley, and being in that area is probably a good thing for him. So that's, even though he says it's not part of it, had to be part of it.
But just wanting to take the meeting with the Celtics the way Kevin Durant wanted the meeting with the Celtics, I think shows you that his thinking may be more along the lines of Kevin Durant than it is of LeBron going to Miami and taking his talents to South Beach.
See, I like, I'm with you on this.
That shows from growth. From shows the change.
Maturity standpoint. You know, the being, you know, you're not coming here to tear it down. He's coming here to be a part of it. To where I'm going to be a facilitator and I'm going to score and it's going to be me and the offense will run through me, but I will take coaching.
Right. He's not going somewhere to build something. He's going somewhere because, hey, that's a good spot.
Because you want
to
be a part of it.
I want to be with you guys.
I mean, you should feel blessed that he's even considering
Boston
to take a meeting with you.
Super team.
Yes.
Super team in green.
This is what Wick has talked about. Fireworks. This is freaking Keith Lockhart. You bring this guy here, I'll go see Keith Lockhart down at the Esplanade. That thing is.
Okay, sure.
This guy comes
great.
Here, I'm firework me up, baby.
Okay.
No? God.
Firework me up, baby.
Like, boom.
He says.
These are like mortars.
Oh, don't play it, Jim. Don't play it. Don't play the firework. I'm already,
Jim and his
I'm
stupid,
already taking my headphones off for when he does it.
Sound effects.
Because when he does it, it's loud.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. He gets me every damn time. Every time, Jim. We've got Sarge with us. He's filling in for Hardy today. He was in on the morning show with Fred. Sarge has got you covered on headlines. We'll get to your calls coming up after Game 3 of the finals last night. Damn Durant won't even give us the slight chance of there being a real series here. That thing is over. We'll get to more of your LeBron thoughts following up from yesterday as well. We'll do it next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Well, the Red Sox beat the Tigers 7-1 last night at Fenway Park. Eduardo Rodriguez now 7-1 on the year, 5 2/3, 5 hits in the win. Christian Vasquez and Andrew Benintendi each went deep in the game. Sox will go for the sweep tonight at 7-10. Rookie left-hander Jalen Beeks will get the start. Well, the Golden State Warriors now one win away from another NBA championship last night. 110-102 winners in Cleveland to take a commanding 3-0 lead. Draymond Green saw his teammate Kevin Durant hit a three-pointer late in the game that pretty much sealed the deal.
That was a huge shot. From Steph 3 to that one, like, he took that from about 38 feet out. And just to put a dagger, you know, in them like that, that was a huge shot, so I can't, I don't really know. Like, it was just high emotion.
Big night for Durant, 43 points, 13 rebounds. Game 4 is tomorrow night from Cleveland. Stephen A. Smith of ESPN reported yesterday the Celtics will have a chance to meet with LeBron James during free agency next month. Also, the Cavs, Warriors, Rockets, Sixers, Lakers, and the Heat are in the mix. In the Stanley Cup Finals, Game 5 tonight from Las Vegas with the Golden Knights trailing the Capitals 3-1. Faceoff is a little after 8 o'clock. And the Patriots back in the practice field today to continue minicamp. Headlines are brought to you by Kiel Vodka. Graduate to Kiel Vodka, the first premium light spirit. Go out at night, be on your game in the morning. Kiel Vodka, stay balanced. I'm Mike Riley. I'm Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Can you talk about the level of stress that you feel throughout the course of a game knowing that? And does it wear on you mentally in a way that it wouldn't with other opponents?
Well, I can take it back kind of the battles that I had with the Spurs when I was in Miami. You just knew that they wouldn't beat themselves. You just knew that, like, every possession when we was playing, you know, San Antonio when I was in Miami, you just knew that if you made a mistake, Manu, Tim, Tony, Pop would make you pay. And at times they did make us pay, and then you sprinkle in what Gary Neal did to us one game, what Danny Green did to us one game, then Kawhi, you could never relax. You know, and when you have great basketball players, but also that can also think the game and be very cerebral about the game, that's what adds the level of stress, because you know that you can never, ever relax. And you should never want to relax. I mean, it's the finals, it's the playoffs. Even if it's a regular season game, you should always want to be on your toes. That's what part of competition is all about. So, it adds to the level of stress.
LeBron James last night. He wants a cerebral team. He wants a smart team. He wants good coaching. He wants everybody on their heels. He wants Boston. You know it, Jim. I know it.
Phyllis.
He wants Boston.
Goosebumps.
That's the soundbite that made me think, wow, he's halfway out the door, and he's already thinking about what he wants next because he's watching what's on the other side of the floor.
Couldn't that mean, like, San Antonio, though, too?
Could mean Golden State.
Could be.
Houston.
Could be Houston, yeah.
It's a super team. Whatever it is, it's a super team.
It's a super team, and it's a bunch of guys that are really fully committed. It sounds like he wants everybody, whoever he's playing with, they've got to be all in. Because you know why? He's starting to feel that clock ticking.
Sure he is.
He's starting to feel it.
He didn't only mention players, though. He mentioned
the rings.
Pop.
Yeah. No,
pop.
I know.
So Brad Stevens. That's what I thought of.
Mini Brad.
When he said pop.
Mini pop. Brad Stevens. He wants a coach. He wants someone who's smart. He wants a smart team.
And you don't think
you know what? He knows he's running out of time and he cannot afford to lose. He wants to go somewhere good and smart and fully committed and will accept nothing less than winning.
He's looking at Boston and saying, thinking, there's a coach that found a way to take that crew. I mean, my God, in that last two games, it was Bane starting against us. They took us seven games. He's played with Kyrie. He knows how good he is. He's played against him. He knows how good Gordon Hayward is. And he's thinking, holy crap, they're going to get those guys back and add them to what they already have going on there. And a great GM and stable ownership. You always want to be a part of that. I don't care how great you are at what you do or whether you're a lower level player. You want to go to a great organization.
He's also thinking legacy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Steph's going to have 3 rings by next week.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Kevin Durant's going to have 2 rings by next week.
Yeah, but not only
Jordan's got 6. He's only got 3.
How many Kobe have?
Kobe's got 5, right?
Yeah.
He's worried about 5, I think, number one. He needs the 5, and he wants 6, and he has very limited time to do that.
That's why Brady had to get his 5th.
Very limited. He's going to have to go somewhere really good, which is why in recent weeks I've started to think the Lakers are not going to be in this. Because he
Me
could
too.
Be good there.
That's a
he
rebuild.
Could put, he could go there with Paul George and they'd be good, but
He wants to go somewhere where they got the full package and they're ready to go.
Right. And you have to stop the Warriors from piling up more rings because those guys pass you as they gather more rings.
Yes.
Curry will pass LeBron, even if it's not warranted. Curry will pass LeBron if he gets five or
but
six.
But you can say LeBron, you know, you want to make the case for LeBron being the best player of all time. LeBron didn't even have the most rings of the guys who played in his era. Well, that's a big knock on LeBron
James.
That's
a massive
knock.
He got
Duncan's
you there.
Duncan's got five. Yep. Kobe's got five. And if Curry might have four or five by the time he's done.
Right. In a league where if you have the best player, you're expected to be in that mix every single year. He's gone to the finals a bunch.
And you're playing as many minutes as he did?
But he doesn't have the rings.
And you're playing as many minutes as he did? He ain't doing this at 38.
He's worked
39.
Too hard. Okay. Yeah. The guy has worked too hard to only have three rings. I'm right. Not kidding. Because as you talk about Steph Curry golfing, and all of a sudden, you could do that now because you're a super team. Who do you think works harder this season or has worked harder this season? Curry or LeBron? You can't make a case for Steph Curry. He's great. He's brilliant. He's a great player. Very talented guy. We're not doing that. But tell me who's worked harder. Who's been forced to work harder.
Do they have the balls to tell him?
LeBron's back hurts. He's been carrying all these guys all these months.
You understand that Danny's
and I get it. It's his fault. I know. It's his fault, and he's been the bad teammate, yeah. Which brings me to another point. I heard Tony Maz yesterday say, right after we got off the air, that he believes Kyrie and LeBron could be put back together.
In this environment.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Do you think there could be the come to Kyrie moment where they get together in the room and there is a conversation that is had because do they hate each other? I don't know if they hate each other. I don't know if it's hate because if we've seen them interact on the court. We saw them interact the first game of the year. And it didn't look like two guys who hated each other. I can tell you that. There's definitely issues there. But can you imagine a situation in which you can get them to agree to play with one another again?
There's one situation.
What is it?
They bring in LeBron and say, listen, Kyrie's the guy. You have to defer to Kyrie. That gives Kyrie his peace of mind. Because that's why Kyrie left.
And clearly
Kyrie wanted a
LeBron
chance to build it
control.
Himself.
Right.
And they wanted, and all of a sudden LeBron came in through the back door and took everything from what Kyrie was building.
Well, let me ask you this then. I get what you're saying. Is it on the floor or is it in everything?
I just think, listen, this is my show. You're a part of my show. This isn't the LeBron show. This is the Kyrie team, and you're a part of it. But I'm the guy.
I also believe that if he is willing to get in that meeting and accept that, LeBron James, then you will see that there is an incredible amount of growth and maturity there that did not exist at one point in time.
It's as unique a situation that he could have when his contract is up. It really is.
617-779-0985. Tom's in Easton. Hi, Tom. Thanks for hanging on.
What's up, boys?
Hi, Tommy.
Hey, just excuse me if my basketball rookiness shows on this call, but I've only been really watching the Celtics for a few years. But what I've noticed about LeBron the past couple weeks is, and I'm not in the locker room, but what I see is him walking out after a game, walking in, the ice truck backs up to the stadium, and he basically looks at all his teammates like, guys, I scored 50 again. I can't do this forever. I feel like he's looking for a team that he can, you know, lay down a comfortable 25, 30 points and really show the young guys how it's done, and I think Boston fits them perfect. I mean, I wasn't big on this a couple of days ago, but the more I think about it, if I was a Cleveland Browns fan and they wanted to bring Tom Brady in, Tom Brady's hated all over the country, but if you got a chance to get him, you take him. I say let's take this ride.
And LeBron doesn't have to play 48 minutes here ever. So, Jim, let me ask you this. You've been very much against it. What if that scenario of Kyrie and him being on the same team together is acceptable? Would you do it then?
No. It's not an on-court thing. It's a principle. It's just principle.
I don't know what that principle is. I don't understand that principle, but I like that you're sticking to your guns.
I have the same exact feeling as Adam Jones. That makes me a little bit nervous, same exact feeling.
Well, actually, why don't we play what Adam Jones said coming up on the other side with more of your calls. Adam Jones had some ridiculous thought about
Dark Knight?
That Jim pulled because he agrees with Jim on it. So we'll hear from the Dark Knight and get back to your call. So hang on after this.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song. Oh.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
LeBron makes the calls. That's the deal with the devil with LeBron. Mm. You get the great player. You probably get a championship, maybe multiple championships. But you lose your soul. You lose your soul if you bring in LeBron. And I'm sorry, I am not interested in rooting for LeBron James. I'll count the trophy. I'll give him like half a credit for a banner with LeBron James. All you're doing is going out and bringing in cyborg LeBron James, I'll give you like half credit for that championship. I'll put a big fat asterisk on banner number 18 if LeBron comes here and wins it. But I will not root for him. You're giving up your soul if you bring in LeBron James.
I thought for a second there that Adam Jones was going to say, I have no interest. He said, I have no interest. And I thought the next lines were going to be in giving up my soul. And I would say, you gave that thing up long ago,
yeah,
bro.
Dr. Death.
don't talk to us about
fraud.
You don't want to give up your soul. You don't have one. I'm not sure you ever had one.
I'm going to asterisk it. What is he, a cheater? Oh, it's how you win a championship.
Listen, Jones, it's the modern NBA. Jones. Look at the NBA. You're putting asterisks next to Golden State.
Yeah.
I got news for you. They count just the same when they win them.
Even Jimmy Stewart, so Mr. Green Teamer of all green teamers, says, bring the guy here and win. Win, win, win.
He was angry yesterday. I had a laugh out loud.
Oh, my God. Since 2005.
I left our studio here in Brighton, and I headed over to the Beasley Boston headquarters on Morrissey Boulevard. And during that drive, in the first 7 minutes or so of their show, Jimmy was all kinds of
angry.
Felder
didn't know what to do.
And it was awesome. I loved it. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Did you hear his laugh at one point, too? Jimmy's evil laugh.
Who's that?
Oh, Jimmy's laugh.
Sarge is here.
Hey, Mike.
How are you guys?
Hello, pal.
Good to see you, Scotty.
There you go, buddy.
Did you hear his laugh?
We did.
Oh, it was awesome.
I missed that part.
Priceless.
Yeah. I missed that.
James Louth, you're going to have to pull the beginning of the Felger and Maserati program. It's about 207. I think exactly at about 207 when Jay Stu loses his bleep.
Oh, and he starts yelling.
Now,
that's actually really easy.
To preface it.
Are you talking about a potential Kawhi Leonard deal?
Yeah.
And Felger's like, why are you angry?
Well, I saw Jimmy earlier in the day, and Jimmy comes in early to prep and get Mike's windscreen ready and start wiping that thing down.
He's here right now.
And he is here now. But I saw him earlier in the locker area, and I say, hey, Jimmy, how are you doing? He goes, well, not too good. I don't really feel that great today. And this is yesterday.
All have those days.
Oh, yeah.
And he took it out on the show, which is the best advice anyone could ever give you.
Well, he took it out on moronic comments, I think. You
think he knows nothing?
Jimmy is.
Who was he laughing at?
He was laughing at Jimmy Stewart because Mike was propping up the Mike Gorman comments.
He knows nothing.
The Mike Gorman comments.
Oh, and
Jimmy
so,
just goes, he knows nothing.
Oh, and then you laughed, and then you had an evil laugh.
It's an evil one, yeah.
Wow, that seems a bit strong, talking about someone like Mike Gorman, like Mike Gorman.
That wasn't evil. That was like, I'm sick in the head.
Just
for that.
Yeah. Laura is in Woburn today. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so I'm going to talk fast, but you got to let me get this out.
I do it every day. Go.
This whole due diligence thing, I think, is just a complete waste of time. But I think I understand that they're doing it because the NBA and the Celtics and the Golden State Warriors don't want to be on the hook the way the NFL owners are on the hook with the whole Colin Kaepernick crap of, and I'm not going to swear, but they're on the hook there. So the reason why LeBron cannot play in Golden State and he cannot play in Boston is because he has no respect for his coaches. He wants to be the coach, and he wants to be the player. You cannot be both. You are one, or you are the other. And that's what LeBron doesn't understand. He has no respect for his coach. He has no respect for the authority. The guys on the Celtics and the guys on Golden State have respect for the guy who is holding the clipboard on, and in the tie on the side. LeBron doesn't do that.
Okay.
And that's why LeBron is never going to be able to play for Steve Kerr, and he's never going to be able to play for Brad Stevens because he's never going to respect their authority.
And you know what he's never done, Laura? He's never played for a coach as good as Brad Stevens. He's never played for a coach as good as Steve Kerr. He did play for Eric Spoelstra, but it was when Eric Spoelstra was not Eric Spoelstra. I think Eric Spoelstra has gotten respect over the last few years for coaching teams that are not LeBron, D-Wade, Bosch's pit, D-Wade's house.
Baby.
LeBron's kingdom. all of that. I mean, he's played for a bunch of average coaches.
Yeah, it seems like he's past the not one, not two. We're going to sit here. We're going to build it forever. It's about that situation.
I won't even disagree with Laura on the point. He has typically wanted to be the coach.
Him, he's had bad coaches.
He's wanted to be the coach. Do you know who's a better coach right now of the Cavs? Ty Lue or LeBron? It's LeBron.
LeBron.
It is.
And LeBron knows that.
Everybody knows
that. That's why he doesn't respect them. See, you have to have the authoritative figure and prove to LeBron, I have a great basketball mind, and I'm going to do what I have to do to make this team win. And if LeBron senses that and gets it, he will respect Brad Stevens. And he will listen to what that guy has to say. When's the last time anybody got on a board, drew something up during a TV timeout, and LeBron James sat there and paid attention? He sits on the end and covers his head in a towel.
Who would you say that LeBron had the most respect for out of all of his head coaches? I would say it's probably Mike Brown.
Probably Mike Brown at the beginning. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And yeah, Mike Brown maybe at the beginning.
At the beginning. And then it soured.
You wouldn't put Spoelstra, huh?
I think Spoelstra and Mike Brown are the two guys that he's... At least at points he enjoyed playing for.
I think at the end we ended up finding out that Spoelstra was a pretty decent coach, and he never got credit because of the way the thing was built. Mm-hmm. Sort of a bystander.
I mean, I remember after the fact, Shaq came out. I remember
Shaq. It was about Pat Riley.
Shaq had the comments and said that, you know, he never listened to Mike Brown. LeBron never. That might be true. I mean, he may have never listened to his coach, but I don't think he was, in the beginning of the Mike Brown era, I don't think he made life hell for him or anything like that. I don't think it was how that went. And I don't think they've ever really said a bad word, have they? Go back and look. But if you look at the run of, I mean, David Blatt. I don't know what happened with David Blatt, but he had never been in the NBA, and now he's not in the NBA.
He's in Israel.
He's back there. Yeah, Ty Lue sucks. He's not a good head coach. Who was his coach in the beginning? Paul Silas, right?
Paul Silas.
Yes. That was his guy as a rookie. I don't know what it was like then. Can't really recall. But if he... I'm telling you, if he goes into a meeting with the Celtics, he knows that Brad Stevens is the coach, and he knows he has to respect him. That's going to be part of the gig. You only want that situation if you're willing to accept coaching and willing to listen to somebody else and let somebody else be in charge of those things.
Yep.
Which I think would be a load off him mentally. Let's go to Chris in New Hampshire. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I think you hit it right there. I think, and I'm not a LeBron fan at all. I'm just not, and I probably never will be. However, that guy is at a time in his life that I think he is looking for a coach with younger players that the coach can coach them and kind of let him do what he wants to do. And I think he's ready for it. I don't know if it's going to be the Celtics or not, but I think he's ready for it. My question also, though, is when you look at Golden State, you look at the salary and everything, can LeBron be there with the setup they have without giving any, you know, any of the big pieces away?
You got to give one away. Can't.
Well, don't forget, LeBron's a free agent. LeBron can take whatever he wants.
Yeah, but he's not.
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. Again, this is all about, we will know about him based on what he chooses and what he's willing to sacrifice. And if he's an adult and he is concerned about legacy and rings, he's going to say, you know what? Do I typically like playing for a coach and taking coaching? No, but I'm going to suck it up because this is what I want. I want to win, and that's what it takes to win.
How much coaching
win,
is actually going to go on?
Not much.
But Steve Kerr doesn't coach that much.
Yeah, there's not a ton of coaching that's necessary.
Not super teams.
No, but that team's, the kids still need super, coaching. Super team.
But I think that's a great call.
I think
it's a great point. There's a balance there. Who needs the coaching and who doesn't?
See, I think guys like Tatum and Brown are going to need that coaching.
Bingo.
That's where Stevens is going to pay dividends, right?
If you can get Kyrie and LeBron on the floor together, those guys don't.
Don't tell me it's not
coaching.
About juggling minutes and rotations and him keeping LeBron fresh. That's a unique thing for Stevens that I think he would go crazy over. Would love to do. Oh, here's what I got to do. How am I going to keep LeBron freaking James fresh for the final 5 minutes of this game? What is my rotations going to be? Who am I going to coach up to play defense to help this guy?
Mike is in the car. Hey, Mike.
Hey, 2 points. One, I think we're living in fantasy land if we think we're anything better than a distant third, maybe even fourth behind San Antonio.
I get Houston and you.
If he wants rings, it's Golden State or Houston. With the sole exception that Boston's almost a guaranteed ticket punch finals, but I'm not convinced that a LeBron added Celtics team is still better, good enough to beat Golden State. Point one. Point two, this is about the principle, the Adam Jones BS about, oh, it's principle. It's about championships. And the same people that are furious at Belichick for benching Butler because of principle are the same ones that say, oh, I'm never going to root for LeBron James over principle, which is complete crap.
Okay. Crap. It's crap, Jim Louth. You and your principles are crap.
No. Have I been hammering on Belichick? I'm pretty consistent.
Yeah, you are. That doesn't mean I have to like it, though. I don't like it one bit. I like LeBron.
I want to see Jones lose his soul.
I do. I want to see him give up his soul.
I want to see him have to sit here and root for him.
No, he followed up with that take by saying, listen, there's plenty of Celtics I've hated and haven't rooted for. I can root for the team without rooting for a player. He's like, look at Marcus Smart. Avery Bradley. Jackie
you know
Bradley Jr. He's like, look at Jackie Bradley Jr.
You know what else too?
I hate that guy. I like the Red Sox.
I want to see Portnoy to have to root for LeBron.
I do too.
Anti-LeBron. And he's going to have
you've done it with James Harrison, Patriots.
What about Portnoy with LeBron.
You're not rooting for James Harrison, but you're rooting for the Patriots.
No, I hate James Harrison. Got no use for those types of players. Yeah. No thanks. Not a fan.
It just makes it awkward, though.
It is. It sucks. You're conflicted. At least in football, there's 22 starters. There's 40 guys out there on a Sunday. You know, there's a lot of players.
First time that happened to me was Canseco going to the Red Sox.
Well, you didn't like him?
Oh, I hated Canseco. When I was a kid, I hated him.
What's really?
I grew to like
you?
Him more after. I hated him when I was a kid.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'll tell you, I became a big Canseco
Bass Brothers?
Fan.
Oh, my God.
Not during his A's years, because that was like...
I love the white shoes.
They were too good, and you'd sort of root against them because they were so good.
I love their uniforms.
They were the Bass Brothers, and it was like, screw these guys. When he went to Texas is when I really started to like him, and then he came here. I was all in on Canseco. All in on that. He dropped bombs up into those light towers, man. Woo!
That was the first time I was conflicted as a fan. I remember it clearly.
Oh, no. I loved Canseco. I love that guy. 617-779-0985. But Jones needs to give up his soul. He just needs to give it up. Pay that troll toll.
Give up
his soul.
Like he has one.
And move on. Get LeBron to Boston. Speaking of star athletes, Tom Brady, we hear he may speak today. Should he speak? Should it be required of him? Should we have an expectation of Tom Brady speaking today? We'll get into that in 90 seconds.